more extraordinary scenes in the British Parliament. The Prime Minister Boris Johnson has just failed to get Parliament to approve a snap election for 2 weeks before the Brexit deadline of the end of October. Earlier this morning, MPs in the House of Commons voted in favour of legislation preventing the country leaving the EU without a deal. Mr Johnson's motion for a snap election needed the backing of two-thirds of MPs but failed significantly. The earlier legislation passed against a no Brexit would force Mr Johnson to seek another delay from the EU, but it still needs to be approved by Britain's upper house, the House of Lords. Joining me to discuss these remarkable developments, my guest is Tim Bale, Professor of Politics at London's Queen Mary University. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
More dramatic times. Let's start with this most recent vote against a snap election on October 15th. Did that come as any surprise to anybody?
No. I mean, I think it was fairly clear that the opposition was not going to grant it's been a long day, Boris Johnson an early election without being absolutely sure that they were going to get this no deal or anti-no deal legislation through. As you say, it's not yet gone through the House of Lords, so they can't actually say they're home and hosed yet. Giving him an election on October the 15th and giving him the chance perhaps to wriggle out of that commitment wasn't ever something I think Labour was going to do.
And can you speculate about the House of Lords, which way you think it'll go?
I honestly doubt whether the House of Lords will be able to block this. I mean, we've had some Conservative peers, particularly Brexit supporting peers, obviously say that, you know, they're prepared to, you know, talk for 2 or 3 days in order to be able to talk this out. But I suspect that actually the overwhelming view in the House of Lords will be that it should not block the Commons in doing this. It would be a terrible look, I think, for the House of Lords, which after all isn't democratically elected, to block the obvious will of the democratically elected House. So either by some mechanism or just simply through sort of, you know, force of argument, I think the House of Lords will allow this to go through.
The earlier vote passed through the Commons that could prevent the UK leaving the EU at the end of October without a deal. It was passed 327 to 299, a bit of a slight difference between the vote from the previous day. Is this a second rebuke for Boris Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, though, it was a repeat of the previous day's vote. I mean, I think, you know, the fact that he has withdrawn the whip from 21 Conservative MPs means that, you know, they no longer feel any loyalty to him. It was clear that there was some, you know, support for this no deal legislation in all the other opposition parties, and I think it was a foregone conclusion, really. They have, I think, been quite clever about what they've done. Not only have they actually mandated him to request an extension in the bill, is actually the letter which they will want him to write. So he's not even going to be able to say it in his own words if the legislation goes through as it originally was intended. So they've really done as much as they possibly can, I think, to really lock him down.
Where to from here? I'm hearing about hundreds of amendments being the next chapter of this Brexit saga.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect, you know, there might be amendments to the bill, but I think, I mean, you know, as you say, there are lots of them. So, you know, I haven't had a chance to comb through them yet, but I suspect it will eventually go through, you know, almost as is, you know, maybe with a few tweaks here or there, because basically the numbers are there for people who want to stop a no deal, and they're not going to allow any amendment to pass that will allow the government to wriggle out of that.
Is this filibustering? Essentially just wasting time?
Well, I mean, you know, in the House of Lords, clearly, you know, those amendments will be used to try and filibuster and try and talk the bill out. But I just think that they will either use, which will be unusual for the House of Lords, a kind of time limiting motion, or I think they will simply wear down those Conservatives, pro-Brexit peers who are prepared to try and filibuster on this. I mean, in the end, I just think that the force of the argument that the unelected House should not block the will of the elected House, and actually the numbers in the House of Lords who I think are very concerned about a no-deal Brexit, will mean that the Lords won't be able to use all those amendments to block it.
Jeremy Corbyn, has he made history now as the only opposition leader to vote against a snap election?
That is a good question. I don't think it has actually happened before. But I think his decision is a wise one. I mean, for Labour, I think the priority has to be stopping a no-deal Brexit, which it regards as extremely damaging to the economy and to those people it represents. So if that means refusing a snap election, at least at the first time of asking, then so be it. There is, however, a question over whether in the next few days Boris Johnson tries again, Labour will or won't block it. There seems to be debate within the Labour Party as to whether they should actually wait until the request has been made and granted by the EU before they actually give him an election, or whether they will see it as sufficient for the legislation itself to be passed before they give him that that opportunity of an election. I mean, I think Labour has to be very, very careful not to fall into what Tony Blair earlier this week called an elephant trap, because if Boris Johnson gets his election on October the 15th, it is perfectly possible, were he to win that election, for him then to repeal the no-deal legislation that is about to go through and still take the UK out without a deal. So Labour, you know, would be risking absolutely everything on that election. And that's a huge risk, I think.
You wouldn't put it past him to do that. He seems utterly determined, doesn't he?
He does.
And
he
ruthless,
does seem utterly determined.
Ruthless?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true when he says it's do or die, or, you know, by any means necessary. I mean, we've already seen the extent to which he's been prepared to bend the rules of the, you know, the uncodified constitution of the UK to prorogue Parliament to limit the amount of time that was available for this legislation. Now, that to some extent has backfired on him, but I guess that he and his advisers always suspected that might happen. And I have been of the opinion, you know, even before Boris Johnson won the leadership contest, that his best bet would be to go for an early election, because that gives him much more leeway, I think, in terms of acting. I mean, people assume, by the way, that if he wins a snap election on October the 15th, that he will necessarily take the UK out without a deal. That might not happen. What he might be able to do, if he wanted to, if he won a majority, is pivot away from the Northern Ireland backstop that's as it's currently configured, and instead draw a line, if you like, a border down the Irish Sea, and make the Irish backstop apply only to Northern Ireland. And that actually might satisfy some people in this country, although it would drive the Democratic Unionist Party to distraction. But at that point, he wouldn't need them anyway. And they have to realise that he could be just as ruthless to them as he's been ruthless to the whole of Parliament.
If there was a snap election, would Labour have any chance of winning?
It's difficult to imagine that they would. Jeremy Corbyn's ratings are abysmal. They are, you know, worse in many respects than any other opposition leader, at least from the Labour Party in living memory. I mean, clearly in 2017, he managed to come from almost nowhere to almost tying with the Conservatives. I'm not sure, actually, if you drill down into the polling, that he's going to be able to do that so easily this time. Firstly, because the Liberal Democrats are much stronger than they were before. And of course, the Conservatives are being led by someone who is, you know, a proven campaigner and a proven winner, at least in terms of his ability to win, for example, in London on a couple of occasions. You know, Boris Johnson, whatever else he is not Theresa May. And I think during an election campaign, he would be a very different and much more difficult prospect for Labour. And if you look at the opinion polls at the moment, we've got the Conservatives somewhere in the mid-30s and Labour down in the low 20s. I mean, that is an awful lot of ground to make up. And you have to remember as well the agony that Labour has been going through with regard to anti-Semitism, for example. And you also have to look at something that not many people pay very much attention to today, which was the spending review, in which the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the Finance Minister, basically splashed the cash on policing, splashed the cash on education, and splashed the cash on the National Health Service. Those were all things that were the focus of Labour's attack at the last election. And it's going to be much more difficult, I think, for Labour to say, you know, the Conservatives are carrying on the austerity policies. They're clearly not now.
Again, were there to be a snap election, would the Conservatives have to scramble around to get some replacement candidates, given that 20 rebel Tories have crossed the floor and, you know, so many of them now have been expelled, including high-profile ones?
Yeah, well, I mean, that is an interesting question. I mean, you use the phrase cross the floor, but interestingly, they haven't actually crossed the floor. They've actually, you know, they've actually sat, many of them, where they normally sit and insist they're just, you know, still Conservative MPs. They're just calling themselves independent Conservative MPs.
Still seen as traitors Boris Johnson, though, aren't they?
Well, by Boris Johnson, but interestingly, there's been a letter from 80 existing Conservative MPs to Boris Johnson today, you know, demanding actually their reinstatement. And that is just 80 people who are prepared to sign that letter. If you think about it, there's probably far more Conservative MPs who actually agree. So I'm not completely sure that they're out for all time or out for good, actually. There might be a lot of pressure on Boris Johnson to relent on a strategy that many of his colleagues felt was extremely unfair to those who were expelled. But you're right. If that expulsion from the parliamentary party holds, then, you know, they can't stand as Conservative candidates, even if their local parties re-adopt them. It's open to Conservative campaign headquarters just to replace them with, candidates of their choice instead of the local choice. And actually, many of those local parties probably just itching to get rid of some of those MPs anyway, who they regard as, you know, traitors.
Are we hearing anything from the EU about all this, or are they sitting quietly and watching it, possibly with their heads in their hands?
Well, I mean, I think the EU have played this very cleverly. They've really kept out of all this. I think we've seen over the last two or three weeks an attempt by the EU to, you know, avoid being seen to be blamed for what's going on. You know, they have been very careful to say that they're willing to listen to the UK. If the UK can come up with some new proposals on, for example, the Irish backstop, they will listen to them. But so far, they've actually had absolutely nothing from the UK. And I think, you know, they've actually played this very well. I mean, they can't really be accused of interfering now, whatever else they can be accused of. And of course, they are accused of all sorts of dire and dreadful things by Eurosceptics.
Thank you so much for your time. That's Tim Bale, Professor of Politics at London's Queen Mary University.